Today's perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, the last perek, perek Lamed Aleph, in which we continue now the going back from screen to screen. And what we've learned was, first two horrific nights. On the one side of our screen, remember, we had Shaul facing the horror of the Nevi'is, or the Siyans, of his coming demise and his eating a Sudat Avrah, essentially on his own life. And on the other screen, David being sent home during that night to avoid coming into contact with Shaul and the Ivrim at the time of the Milchama to be in the morning. Then the next thing we had was the split screen of David moving into the morning, which of course ends up being 3 days later and so on, but we have a complete break as if to see, let's watch what's happening to David. And what's happening to David is that we have this wonderful change in the fortunes of David, in what appeared to be disaster, in which he actually was coming to the horror that Shaul himself was coming to. And he turned it into a fantastic victory, which when we take a look in Divrei HaYamim, ends up being really the building of Tziklag as the core of the Malchus, which sheds light on his original strategic decision to go with Achish in order to have Tziklag. And all of the Malchus that develops later is really an outgrowth of the things that took place in Tziklag. And so the change in David's personality, in which he exhibited for the first time true Malchut, not just the elements of Malchut in which he was willing to allow things to emerge, which was the first part, which he wouldn't touch Shaul, which he wouldn't assert his Malchut even over Naval, became over here something much grander than that. Because what David recognized is that the circumstances of his life and the failures of his life needed to be seen, and this everybody else was convinced, there's no hope. This is the ultimate failure, which everything that we've worked for are our lives, our wives, our children have been spirited away, never to be seen again, and they just sit down and cry. And here it's David for the first time showing himself as the one who experiences life through his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet not by removing himself from life, but rather becoming more committed and more involved in the moment. And this is what happens to him. He suddenly brings the ephod, recognizes that he can still make victory out of failure, turn this around, it was just another opportunity, and in doing so ends up with the shalal of everyone, which he's now able to send back to Yehuda and to show them that he's successful, so that the original we found in Divrei HaYamim, a list from all of the Shvatim, even from Eivor HaYardeh, and even from Binyamin, the family of Shaul itself, had come to join David, leading soldiers, generals, people who were aware themselves that it's the end of Shaul's mouth, it's just a matter of time till we're defeated by the Plishtim, all ended up joining David in Tziklag, which then became, as the Pasuk said initially, Lemalche Yehuda, became a place that would belong to the kings of Yehuda, for here indeed was the beginning of the incipient Melucha. This is the brilliant sunshine that's coming from one part of our screen, and it actually becomes a song. So that if you take a look in your properly written Nach, as opposed to the silly things that they sell, you will see that the La'asher of each one of the lines goes on one side of the page, the name of the people that it was given to is on the other side of the page, just like the Masos in the Midbar. So it's a song that they're singing of the coming into power of David. Now we have to go back, because we don't realize that the reason that it was the coming into power of David is because Shaul was no longer between the living. Going back 3 days now, into the next morning on the other side of the screen, from the point of view of Shaul, which closes what they call Shmuel Aleph, a non-existent book. There's only, of course, Shmuel, but the Goyim did this, so this is the dramatic moment, because they realized that the drama of the moment, the end of these split screens, is that the Malucha has effectively been given over. So what they see is the first part of the book, which they call a separate book. The first part of the book is the achievement of Malucha, given temporarily to Shaul into the hands of David, whereas in reality, the book as a whole does not countenance that kind of division, because what Shmuel was interested in writing as a book was the nature of the development of Malucha, not the particular way in which Shaul gives things over to David. And that story goes on. How is it that David actually becomes a melech and turns this into the Keter Malchut, which will be passed on now to Shlomo, which ends with the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and so on and so forth. Those are the issues we haven't yet touched. As a matter of fact, if anything, we could say that for the first time, we've seen Hanagat HaMalchut yesterday, and that should begin the second part of the... So, you know, it's all very arbitrary. But beginning the arbitrary Perek Lamed Aleph, so getting back now, this isn't arbitrary, because indeed the Mesera has now a large parsha there, so we have a parsha Petucha, to begin now the other side of our screen. Uplishtim nilchamim b'Yisrael. And I'm back at the ranch. So the plishtim is Rashi pushed it. Ka'adama omer nachzor l'inyan rishon. That's the idea of a split screen. They didn't have that metaphor. But we have it as a beautiful metaphor. So now getting back to the story. It's not getting back to the story. I mean, we've been watching it side by side. So the plishtim now, the next morning, the plishtim begin their war, and it goes badly for the Jews. And so what happened was not that they fought properly, but that they ran. And we saw that Shaul was terrified of what was happening. There was an army there that was an overwhelming army. It was from the entire federation of the Plishtim. Probably, as many of the Chokrim suggest, probably the placement of the battle in the Gilboa region implies that it was not only a Plishtim battle, and that actually the Plishtim had gathered together the other indigenous populations to attack from the other side, so that what they were doing, what Shaul had done, was originally go up to go, which is a crazy place to go. If you're fighting Plishtim, which are all the way down on the coast, why in the world did you go to the Gilboa? And how did the Plishtim end up coming up Emek Israel? Why would they move their whole army like that? Why not just go directly in? So apparently this was a pincer movement, in which the Canaanim, and the ones that had come from Eber HaYarden, we'll see later on that indeed the Bricha was even across the Yarden here. So apparently there was involvement of tribes on the other side of the Yarden. That's what the Mashmaut is that's coming. If that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense. What Shaul might have done is initially moved up to try to get rid of the people on the flanks that would attack him. We see that the entire story here is about flanking issues. This is what happened to the Plishtim yesterday in the invasion of Amalek and Siklag and that whole area. So they had left their flanks uncovered. Apparently it was worth it. This is one of the things that the Sarea Plishtim had yelled at Achish about, that this makes no sense. If you're going to use Ivrim, that's where to use them. Don't bring them up here. You're leaving your flank uncovered, and you're bringing a fifth column into our own army. But what might have happened, probably happened, is that Shaul had gone up to the Gilboa in order to deal with people that were coming from the other side of the Yarden. So now he overlooks, as anyone has been up on the Gilboa, you see the incredible view for miles and miles and miles, depending on what side you're standing. So you're in a very commanding position. He figured he would do that. Meanwhile, the Plishtim, he thinks, are comfortably ensconced in Afeka, or in an area that's at the bottom, even before they get up to Emek Israel. All of a sudden, they've moved the entire army. This is a Jewish thing to do. The Jews always do this. They move the army suddenly, and you're facing them without realizing that they made an overnight movement. This apparently is what the Plishtim were doing. So the Plishtim now are directly ready to attack Shaul on the other side of the Gilboa. So he's in terrible trouble. And what happens is the Gemara says, the beginning of defeat is running. And this is one of the riyas that Gemara Saita brings. Since it says Vayanusu, the next word is Vayiplu. So you want to be sure that you're going to fall, disorderly retreat. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. So you lose all control of your army. And so they started to run. Vayiplu chalalim ba'ar Gilboa, and there were just bodies dropping like flies on Har Gilboa because they had no tactical abilities anymore. Well, you'd be cool Plishtim at Shauved Banav. And so the Plishtim now, in order to strike a mortal blow to the morale of the Jews, they concentrate on the royal family. So they've decided they're going to get rid of Shaul and his sons. Vayaku Plishtim at Yonatan vet Avinadav vet Malkishoa b'nei Shaul. And they're able to directly kill Yonatan, Avinadav, and Malkishoa, but Shaul, meanwhile, is still galloping free. And so then the entire weight, literally, the weight of the battle now was aimed against Shaul personally. And so the Morim, Now, the Morim are the equivalent of snipers. That's why we're explaining it. Anashim Bakashet, obviously Morim are Anashim Bakashet. What it's saying is, but these were the Morim of the Anashim Bakashet. In other words, not simply shooting, but from the nature of a shoot that is absolutely precise. So we say someone who goes straight to the, what's that?
Marksman,
yeah, exactly. So now he's marked. He knows that it's over, because there's no way these guys are going to miss. Vayachel mo, now vayachel here doesn't mean he got sick. It means he was terrified, because he knew that they were going to be able to get him at will. What he felt was happening is that they weren't trying to get him at will. They were only trying to wound him. And that he viewed as terribly dangerous, because what they wanted to do clearly was to capture him, use him as a way of completely degrading and because of that, absolutely demoralizing the Jews. They would, who knows, I mean, what they did to Shimshon. God only knows what they would do to Shaul. And that would be a tremendous Chilul Hashem. And the fact is, it is a Chilul Hashem that all this happened. So that we find Adam HaRishon, Tainis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw Dor Dor V'Dor Shem. Moshe Rabbeinu at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was giving his brachas and had the vision of what would be happening in Yisrael. How could it be that the first Melech of Yisrael, which is like the final achievement now of Yerusha's Aretz, you're coming in, the first mitzvah is to be Mamana Melech, and how is this possible? The Ad Kedei Kach, I mean, I understand he's not successful, but to put him in a position where, I mean, we'll see, they do end up getting his body, it's horrible. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, this is very strange, because in the parsha of Avelut, what's the parsha of Avelut? Emor al HaKohanim b'nei Aaron, right? So Chazal see, in the parsha of Emor, is he's telling Moshe, they really should get a message, and they're just not getting it. Namely, it's the Kohanim that caused this. It's the Kitrug of the Kohanim because of Nov that is doing this to Klal Yisrael. But since they won't let go the design of Nov Yir HaKohanim, that's the destruction of Shaul. It's a very strange, but it's a medrash that occurs all over, whether it's in terms of Mesha, in terms of Yaakov, in terms of Adam HaRishon. It's viewed as a horrific event that needs to be explained the way in which it happened, not because of the failure in Amalek. For that he could die and the Malchus could be taken. But this horrific end is only because of Emor al HaKohanim, says Chazal. And so he perceives that there's no way out of this and that it's going to end up being a horrific Chilul Hashem. And in fact, this becomes now a primal limud. Ach et dimchem l'nafshotechem edrosh, back in Bereshis, in which suicide is prohibited. So says the Medrash. Again, in a couple of places, this is so fundamental. So you might think, afilu kisha'u, Talmud lomar, ach. There's not always. So that is the first statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Nayach. Takes into consideration the loss of Shaul. It's unbelievable. So that in a case where someone is acting to prevent a type of Chilul Hashem like this, in which it's now not Nagei him personally, but Guf Hashem Shamayim, so then it says, ach, to say that Shaul indeed had a right to take his own life. See, he was terrified.
When we said in the last,
yesterday,
that he's going to get Lama Ba, anyways, like that was from him doing that.
No, this is part of it. It was the willingness to go and face Midas Hadin. The truth is, it's something of a Mida Keneged Mida, if you think about it. Because his problem was control. He needed to control everything. This is the first time in which he is willing to go directly, as we learned the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachim, Ru'u Briya Shebarati Ba'olami, he's going straight to his death, V'sameach B'midat Adin Poga'at Bo. But in the end, is it Midat Adin that's Poga'at Bo? Or must he be Poga'a in himself? So that the ultimate responsibility, taking responsibility for the failure, is not to allow the responsibility to fall on someone else, but it's a horrific end to recognizing how everything in your life, which was the opposite of Malchus, which was taking responsibility for only yourself, needs now to be responsible for his own death, which is horrifying. So he can't even take the easy way out, which Yonatan and his other children, they were killed. He can't allow himself even to be killed. So Vayomer Shaul Noseh Chilav, so he says now to the one who was going with him, Shalov Charbacha V'Dokreni Ba, take your sword and stab me. Penyavo Harelima Elut Karuni V'Talaluvi, Because what they might do, they're going to kill me in the end, that's for sure. But what they might do is eat alamut. So they'll make a mockery of me, of what I stand for, of Klal Yisrael. He could not bring himself to kill the Mashiach Hashem, and he couldn't do it. So Shaul takes his own sword and falls on it. And the way the Gemara puts it is that the special bracha was Shaul b'tzavaro, that Shaul was b'shichmo mala gavoa, that he stood out, and that standing up was me'ein dugma shel mala, is the way Chazal put it. Same thing happened with Shimshon, that he was me'ein dugma shel mala with his bracha. And those brachas are what end up destroying the person. This Shaul ends up not stam falling through his heart, but rather, says the Medrash, he shechted himself, basically, falling with his neck across his sword. When he saw that Shaul had died, he went mad. There's no hope. Killed himself. Everyone that had stuck with Shaul and hadn't scattered died together on that day. And so, when everyone saw what had happened, they simply dropped it all and ran, leaving their cities behind for the Plishtim, because they knew they were defenseless. Now that Plishtim would simply move in and slaughter everybody, the only thing they could do was leave. Vayazvu et ha'arim vayanusu vayavo Plishtim vayashvu bahem. Plishtim actually came, took over the Jewish cities because the army was gone, there was no leadership, and of course it's going to take David to recapture all of this, get rid of the Plishtim, and that's how we move over to the next stage, real Malucha. But, I mean, you can imagine, we're not talking about a small war over here. The Plishtim aimed to take over the country. This was the ultimate defeat, as far as people could see. Vayimi mochorat, vayavo Plishtim lefashet et ha'chalalim. It's the next day, while David is now coming into Tziklag. And they are now stripping the bodies, taking the whatever weapons, whatever they can take from the Jewish dead. They find Shaul and his three sons. They cut off his head. Take all of his things. And they take his naked body and his clothes and his head to give thanks in their church and to show the people that they've defeated the Jews. And they took his things and put it into the temple of the Ashtarot, and nailed his body to the walls of Beit Sha'an. And now, the people of Yavesh Gilad, which is the place that after 7 days of Nachash, that was the beginning of Shaul's acceptance as the Melech. They were the ones who were saved by Shaul. They were the ones that Shaul sent to them, don't worry, don't give in. Tomorrow at this time, you will be saved. That was 7 days that they gave, Nachash had given them, to see if they could find. Well, they found. And what they found was Shaul. And they were the ones, therefore, who felt the deepest loyalty to Shaul, the deepest personal gratitude to Shaul, and having heard this horrible thing that had happened. Vayakumu kol aish chayil, every capable soldier in Yoshvei Yavesh Gilad got up and walked the entire night. Vayahu kol alayla, where the Plishtim were not expecting. The last thing they expected was that there would be any Jews coming up to the Chomat Beit Sha'an to take down Shaul's body. They didn't even post guards. They went the entire night. Vayakhud gviat Shaul, veit gviat that Gviot Banav, we didn't mention before that, because the most important thing was Shaul, but the fact is that they had put everyone's body up on the wall. Michomat Pechan. Vayavo Yavesha, they came back to Yavesh Gilad. Vayisrafu Otamsham. And they burnt, now what does it mean? It meant, so some say burnt means Kisrefatam Lachim. Srefatam Lachim means that you burn the clothes of the Malachim and to show nobody else can use it. I mean, that's a very pretty way of saying it. The Pashta says, and the Radak says, it's very reasonable that it means they actually burnt the bodies. Now, it could be that they burnt the bodies because they were decaying, so it wasn't proper to bury them like that. not so pushing. I haven't seen anybody give a chat, but I suggest that they needed to make it impossible for the plishtim to ever be able to take them back. So they burnt, they may actually have burnt the bodies, burying only the remains, which it says, Vaikvot Atzmotehem, it means specifically. So all the time we've been talking about Gviotehem, now all of a sudden we're talking about Atzmotehem. Vayikbru tachat ha'eshel biyavesha. They ended up burying them there under the tree in Yavesh Gilad. Vayatsumu shivat yamim. So the tzom could be simply the expression of avilut, as some suggest, connected the 7 days that he had saved them. So they wanted to make it a zikaron for those days that they felt that profound gratitude. It may also be, as we do today, if somebody feels that it wasn't Neyek Kavod HaMeis, or if you're not Neyek Kavod HaMeis with a Melech Yisrael, so then they were searching for a kapora, that what we were doing things only what we could. Now we'll see in the coming prakim that there was an attempt to undermine the chashivas of the death of Shaul, as if he were looking for an easy way out, or as if he were running away and attempting to escape and was wounded, or as if Lamaisa Magialo, and this wasn't the last act of Gvura and an attempt to save Yisrael from Bizoyan. And David very much goes out of his way to assert, even to the point of murder, as we'll see, to assert that that wasn't the case at all. And he didn't want to take the Malchus from a shoal that would be mevuzeh in any way. So as Scott just pointed out, this is an equivalent of the split screen that we had with Yosef and Yehuda walking back and forth. And that's exactly what we're doing here. We're doing the Malchus of Beis Rachel and Malchus of Yehuda in the next split screen. It's the only time that we find this type of literary effect here in the Torah so far. And this, of course, closes, the Emor al HaKohanim closes the story of Nov Ir HaKohanim, in which the very same escapee from Nov on one side of the screen is bringing about the Hatzola of Tziklag and David's rise to the Melucha. On the other side of the screen, the horror of the responsibility for Nov destroys not only Shaul, but Yonatan himself always wanted to be second in command to David, to be the one to bring the Malchus from Binyamin to Yehuda. Instead, as we learned earlier, because of that one mistake of turning around, not taking responsibility for David, but going back home and seeing David walk off on his own, in the end, David was forced to go to Nov Ir HaKohanim, which through Doeg, in the end, destroyed everything. And we'll see that the terror against the house of Shaul is unfortunately not yet over when it comes to Nov.